Anyway.
YouTube, we're going to go off of you.
Goodbye, YouTube.
Oh, you're still muted.
Great.
I muted you because sometimes you talk.
But it's on my track. It doesn't hurt your track.
Oh, that's true. And you're sending me your track, which I'm not muting it. Right. So for all those live people who are listening through Pride 48 or YouTube, they're not hearing you.
Right.
But you'd still be on the recording. Yeah, sometimes I delete your, sometimes I cut your track before then.
That's what I assume you would do, is like you would cut the track before then. That's why I do it. Now that I know that it might make it in, I'll have to try harder.
Good.
To try harder.
Do you guys believe me now that I posted that screenshot?
I don't. Oh, you mean the chat room? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I believe you, Adam. I believe you.
I don't think there was anything on there that anybody's going to be able to do anything with.
Oh, that's right. I forgot to mention tomorrow is No Kings rallies across the United States. The one here in Claremont is going to start at 10 a.m. tomorrow. I'm going to be heading up there to downtown Claremont. I'm going to start at City Hall and do a little rally there and then march out to Highway 50 and hang out with signs there for a little bit. So that's tomorrow. But I would encourage anyone out there who would like to, I don't know, find solace in the fact that not everyone else in the country are completely horrible dicks, and that there are a lot of other people out there who feel like you do, that things have gone insanely too far, then I would advise you. It is a very therapeutic kind of thing to be like, to realize and see so many people, even in tiny little small towns, seeing so many people and just going like, you know what? I feel better now. I feel like I can make it. I feel like I can make it. Do you see some of these flips in Florida?
No.
We flipped, well, not we, because I quit the Democratic Party, but the Democrats took Palm Beach County, which is incredibly Republican. That is a very red county. And I think it was something like a 27-point flip. And they took a one in Tampa, which Tampa is also, there's a lot of Tampa that is blue, but there are sections of Tampa that are very red. Flip that one. And that's Palm Beach. Kathy Marshall is where Mar-a-Lago is. Feeling better. I'm feeling better. I'm feeling it maybe even, you know, maybe even Chuck Schumer can't fuck it up. So, I mean, let's be
honest. Are those state representatives, like at the state level?
Oh, in Florida, yeah. These were special elections for state level. Yeah. Yeah, things. The one in Palm Beach County was for the U.S. Congress. But but there's a lot of Congress people. Congress people are, there's a lot of them. What is there, like 400 and no 500? There's one for that's the right 535.
How many members?
I think it's 535
are in the House of Representatives. 435.
That's what I said.
Okay.
Well, I said it's 535 in Congress, so 100 senators and then 435 in the House.
Excuse me.
That is why the political website is called 535, right? Anyway, it's also the number of votes in the Electoral College.
So, Daniel, you've got 10 minutes until you go into your 60th year. How do you feel about that?
60th year. I worry about dumb things, but overall, I feel fine. You know, I'm still able to go out and run. I'm still able to like function. Like I'm not hobbled. I don't like, occasionally I'll do something and, you know, ooh, I can't.
Well, I fall up the stairs.
I can't twist all the time. That way, or, you know, there's a random pain here, but so far nothing crippling or debilitating, other than my inability to go past 10 miles running. But, it's, is it 5:38? Whatever. Lamont Cranston, don't on my birthday. Just let me have it. Just let me have it on my birthday. On my birthday.
I mean, it's too late now because he can't.
Lamont's very harsh with the whole thing.
Look, I have J.J. Abrams.
You do?
Lens flares.
Woo. You know, no one can see the video right now because.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You can.
I can. Yeah, I appreciate it. He's got, he's doing the lens flare motion with his fingers. I was going to say something. I know, Adam.
That has a flashlight on the end of it.
So let's talk about, let's see. I joined this club.
Yeah.
Atlas. Have you heard of Atlas?
No, I haven't.
The Atlas Coffee Club. Have you heard of this?
Mark named his ChatGPT Atlas.
Oh.
Well, he names this. Sorry, but just one second. Every one of his projects, he gives a different name.
Okay.
So he treats them like they're different people. So he has a travel person, he has a workout person, he has an investment person. Mm-hmm. So his travel person, he named Atlas.
Oh. So the idea of the Atlas Coffee Club is that every month they send me, I filled out a little questionnaire on the kind of coffee that I like. And then every month they send me a bag of coffee, from a different region that was sourced, you know, so single sourced region. So like, so this is, and then they send you a little card about the blend, right? So you can see here that this one came from Honduras. And so like, it'll take tasting notes on it and everything. And then on the back, there's like, you know, all kind of interesting facts about Honduras and where the coffee was grown. And then they send you a little postcard from Honduras and, so it's the Atlas Coffee Club and their little rewards program. You earn miles. So you actually get points based off of how far away from the place that the coffee came. You get the points. So it's like, it's very cute. So I got this coffee from Honduras. And I think I'm going to have to change how I make coffee. Cause I think like how many, do you drink coffee?
No, Mark drinks coffee. Mark loves coffee. And I bought him an espresso machine.
Espresso. Yeah.
I bought him an espresso machine a couple of years ago and he uses it maybe once a week.
Okay.
Because he also has a, for his daily is just, the K-cup, whatever, Keurig. That he uses.
So as you know, I live in Florida and my motto is I don't drink heat. So it's like, so I don't drink hot beverages. So my coffee is, I make it and pour it into I make it 1 50-ounce pitcher at a time.
Yeah.
Basically 10 cups at a time. And then I refrigerate it, and then so that goes about 3 days. So, you know, about 3 1/4.
So you have it in the morning like everybody else, but you do
iced.
Cold
it's
instead
coffee.
Of hot.
Yeah. It's iced coffee.
Yeah.
And I have my
iced
coffee.
Do you put creamer?
Yeah, I put creamer. Yeah. So I have my iced coffee every morning, and I feel like this Honduras coffee, I guess what I was going to ask is I always heard that I always read that you're supposed to put 1 tablespoon of grounds for each cup you're going to make, right? So in this case, I'm making 10 cups. Because each cup for coffee is 5 ounces. So it's 50 ounces is 10 cups. And if I were to make 10 cups of coffee, I would be using 10 tablespoons of grounds. But I've always thought that that was incredibly wasteful. And, you know, it's like, so I've always done like 7, and that's been fine. But I feel like this Honduras coffee is a bit thin with only 7 scoops. So maybe I need to go up to like, you know, 9 scoops or something.
The only thing I remember is my grandpa loved coffee, and he used to give me coffee when I was little. Yeah. But he would put creamer in it or milk or something and sugar. And so I'm okay with it if it has like milk and sugar or cream with sugar or some kind of
We have a coffee expert in the chat room. Kathy Marshall is asking me, is it a light roast? According to the roast level chart here on the Honduras coffee, it is a medium roast. So it is a medium roast. It has tasting notes of milk chocolate, cajeta, which I think is honey, and graham cracker.
I think it's cajeta.
Oh, that could very cajeta. Well be. Yes, that sound, is that honey?
I don't know, but I just think that's how that word is pronounced.
This coffee is grown through a cooperative of small farms in the Limpira region of Honduras. We're excited to partner with them and continue to support small farms in their efforts to create amazing coffee to share with the world. So, yeah, I joined a coffee club. We'll see.
Well, there you go.
It's like $9 a month. And it's a bag of coffee, and it's like, then I don't have to remember to go buy the coffee at the store, which cost about $9. So it's like, you know, as long as.
And you're getting to try different coffees each month, right?
Yeah.
So that's cool. Honestly, but you have to remember, if you really love one, to write it down.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Or whatever.
Yeah. I'll keep the little card and everything. But I feel like I don't taste a huge difference between like the brands of coffee. Like when I go, I usually just buy like a breakfast blend or something. And, you know, I don't taste a huge difference between the different manufacturers. And
Mark likes the dark roast, and he normally gets Starbucks.
Yeah. The other suggestion that I got from ChatGPT, well, from Gemini, was that I could cold brew it. And only use the 7. So I could use the 7 scoops, but cold brew it. So like put the 7 scoops in the 50 ounces of water and put it in the refrigerator for a day. And then, you know, that would be cold brewed. And you could do that. And I'm like, yeah, but then I got to get the grounds. And they're like, oh no, you can take a coffee filter, put the grounds in the coffee filter, and then tie the coffee filter, and then just drop it in like a tea bag or whatever. And then you can just pull it out and throw it away. So maybe I'll try that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That would be that would probably work as well. I don't know. I don't really know the differences in like how you brew it and what it tastes like, and French press versus drip versus, you know, I don't really know any of that, but I just know that Mark loves it.
I mean, I know what they are, but I don't like, Zach typically used a French press, right?
Used?
It broke, so he hasn't replaced it yet.
Oh, I see.
But he, cause he's been using I use an automatic, you know, a Braun automatic, just a regular coffee pot, just a Braun coffee pot, and a drip coffee cup. And, but Zach used to use a French press. I would use a French press if it held more, because I feel like, excuse me one moment, Adam. My phone is ringing. I'm sure this is a very urgent message. Hold on. Hold on a second, caller. I have to, hold on. Hold on. Hey, son.
Son. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear son. Happy birthday to you, yo man.
So I'm currently doing my show with Adam. Say hello, Adam.
Hello, Adam.
Hello, Adam.
Yeah, it's Adam.
Hello.
Hello, Adam. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. I figured you would be doing this. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, this is a tradition, which, by the way, I violated this year because I fell asleep on your birthday because I'm old.
I was very disappointed. I was awake at midnight, waiting and waiting and waiting, and I looked at Lathyra and I said, "What's happened? He didn't call. Oh no."
Yeah, and so your wife had to be the first person to tell you happy birthday instead of me. So I know it's sad. Anyway, well, thank you. Thank you, son.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, Syrah. My sister-in-law, Syrah. Say hello to Adam.
Hi, Adam.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, doing good.
You know, Adam is coming down to visit in a couple of weeks. So we'll be over in the Plant City Way. So we'll have to stop by and see you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. We can finally exchange some gifts that are about a year old or something.
Right? I know. the one that I got you for Eid is the one that I've had here for you. But it was a very special one. It's a very special one. So, yeah.
I can't wait.
So, but it's just recent. I just recently got it because I've been trying to get it for a while. I just recently got it. So,
sounds.
I hope it's not an animal.
Oh yes, good God! Please don't be an animal. We'll kill it.
I mean, define animal. Really, it's like
as long as it's not alive.
What is alive? Really, plants are alive.
That's true.
Fungus is alive. Things like that. When I'm visiting you, maybe I can get some of those things that you have around your oak trees because we need to plant them. The bromeliads, because we didn't bring them from the other house. So, anyway.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We've got thousands. So,
Hey, Adam, you can help me pick out some bromeliads.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll be great.
I'll do that.
All right. Anyway, thank you. I'm sure I'll be talking to you guys again in about 3 days. So,
oh, yes. I wonder why. Okay, good deal.
Have a good night.
Happy birthday. Enjoy your day.
Thank you. All right.
You're welcome. Bye.
That, that is my brother, Les, for those of you who didn't know.
I think he might have called. We may have been doing your show on the night before your birthday.
Yeah.
Some other year.
Yeah.
Because I seem to remember him calling.
That is a tradition.
When I was in your presence.
Yep. Yeah.
And normally the only time I'm in your presence is when we're recording.
You could have been here, or I could have been there. Like it could have been, on a trip. I do tend to take trips around my birthday. Oh. So it could have been a birthday.
You just went robot-y.
No,
for
I didn't.
A second. Robot-y.
You went robot-y. I didn't go robot-y.
You went robot-y.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. I did not. I don't know why I saw
Oh, Gary wants me to play that birthday song again. Do you want me to play it again?
I would like to get it. How do I get it? Let's see. What is going on? Why am I getting this buzzy?
Fifteen years ago in Azeroth, you pulled a Louisiana nerd into your world. Said, hey, come be a guest on my world podcast. Man, we'll talk about the loot that we've killed. You've been making shows ever since that day. More titles than your Discord's got pings. You built a network for the voices left out. Now listen to what a birthday brings. Happy birthday to you, Daniel Brewer. You introduced me to Auntie Scott, a mentor I never knew I'd need. You run your miles while the mic stays hot, and you planted every podcast seed. You and Adam went quiet for several years. I went quiet for a while there too.
Oops.
What happened?
Shit.
Why did you stop the song?
Hold on.
Here's where I send 10 messages. Get to happy birthday to you.
Sorry.
Daniel Burrow, happy birthday to you. You fought, yes, through glory and through silence. And we're so glad that you came back through. Happy birthday, dear Daniel. Happy birthday to you. Every word you've ever said and every word you cut off before anyone else could. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, it was Brian in New Orleans, right?
Brian's in
New Orleans.
I don't know where he is.
It says it right on the thing.
Says Princess Bri Bri.
No, Brian in New Orleans. Where do you see Princess Bri Bri? I'm talking about
his
in the
Discord.
Voice.
Where are you looking?
In the thing, in the phone list.
On the label.
Yeah.
On the title of the.
Yeah, the title of his, because your auto stamping thing from his phone number is Brian, New Orleans.
So at some point I labeled him that. So I guess at some point I knew where he was from.
So it's Brian from Discord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's Brian. He's the one in level 13.
Yeah. Oh, then it was probably AI. Yeah. He does a lot of AI stuff.
Yeah.
But it's still really good.
Yeah. That was not disparaging in any way, form, or fashion.
Let's see. So I talked about Atlas.
What was it?
He says it in the song that he made it in the AI. Great.
No, what was Atlas?
Atlas, my coffee.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I joined the Atlas
That's
Coffee Club.
That's the name
club.
Of the club.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Yeah. It's also the name of, I can eat my candy bar now. It's also the name of, whatchamajigger, of Mark's travel bot.
So what are you doing today for your birthday?
So on the schedule today, I'm going to head up to Claremont in the morning to participate in the No Kings rally. I'm also going to pop into the running store up in Claremont after that to get some new running shoes. That will be my birthday present to myself. And then I'll come back home and goof around, play with my computers and stuff. And then we are heading to Disney in the evening. Where is my thing? There it is. Tomorrow evening, what time is our thing tomorrow evening? Tomorrow evening is... I thought I just saw it. I don't know what
by
time
the way,
it is.
By the way, I need you to give me the measurement of your biggest medal again. I know you did that already, but I need it again.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to go and look. Hold on, I'm trying to figure out what time dinner is tomorrow. I'm so sorry. I'm eating now. 7:10. So yeah. So I'll probably head over to the Grand Floridian around 5-ish and go ahead and enjoy a cocktail or two in the Enchanted Rose Lounge. And then, as I said, Rodan and Darwin are joining us, and we have a lovely dinner in Citrico's there at the Grand Floridian, and then a short walk away to the Magic Kingdom, where we can watch the fireworks or anything else that we may want to do. So what we will not have is cake from the Cake Bake Shop, because that is in a completely different place on property.
Oh.
And
I thought you were going to say, yeah, I'm pissed off with the Cake Bake Shop. They are homophobic or something.
No, not at all.
Well, yeah, I want to, before I come... I want to have a sample of the metal holder to see if it suits you, and then I can print more and mail them.
Okay.
But I want to bring one with me. So I need the measurement again, because I'm sure I wrote it somewhere, but I don't know where I wrote it. So
I will get it for you.
Yeah.
No, Kathy Marshall asked if I am carrying a sign for the No Kings. I may carry one if they're there, you know, if they have extras or something, but I did not make a sign to carry. This is my first rally up here, so I don't know quite what to expect. So if you were going to carry a sign, or well, first of all, are you going to a rally tomorrow, Kathy Marshall? And if so, what is your sign going to say? Maybe I'll just plagiarize your sign.
I didn't know there were rallies, but I'm not much of a rally person. So I mean, I'm sure I should, but it's so up in people's face.
Let's see. Where are you?
I'm in Northwest Arkansas.
Yeah. But hold on. Let me see if I can search.
Rogers, Bentonville,
let
Springdale.
Let me see if I can search by zip code.
Fayetteville. Probably in Fayetteville. If it's anywhere, it's in Fayetteville.
Arkansas Valley, South Central, Port Arkansas, Texas.
It says Little Rock, Fayetteville, Hot Springs, Rogers, yeah. Harrison, Jonesboro, and other cities.
Yeah.
And they're all at the same time, or?
No, they're all at different times. Where did you find that?
Well, that's an AI result from Google, but
yeah.
But it says protesters will gather in Little Rock and more than a dozen other cities, Arkansas cities, on Saturday as part of the third nationwide No Kings Day.
That's right.
I don't see a time.
It's going to be, it's different times in different places. It goes on all day long. One of the most exciting things is, you know, I'm a member of the Bulwark, and they're going to be like live streaming tomorrow from different, No Kings rallies from across. So, and that starts at like 1:00. So, and I'll be back by then. So that'll be fun. So, you know, I'll enjoy. It'll be fun. It'll be a fun birthday. I'm looking forward to it. Although it is going to be a bit windy and a chance of rain tomorrow, but mainly windy. It's going to be very windy tomorrow.
But doesn't it always rain in Florida every day, and it rains and then it stops?
So that is our normal summer pattern, but we're in our dry season right now, so it doesn't rain every day. In fact, it rarely rains between December and March.
Let's see. The problem is, so did you read this already? She says, impeach the leech with a nice picture of a leech wearing a red tie.
Oh, no, I didn't see it.
The problem is you also want to remove him. You can't be literal with slogans, though.
Yeah, I'm assuming, like, you know, a sign that says, like, kill him is probably bad, probably illegal.
I don't wish death on anyone, so I wouldn't want to do that.
He does, so why not?
I don't.
All right, so let me talk about this other thing. I've got to stop eating this payday. Okay. Sorry, Tony from Illinois.
I don't have any topics tonight for the after show, but then again, the after show is supposed to just be kind of a free flowing, whatever's on our mind sort of thing. So, you know,
yeah, it is.
But
So the other thing I wanted to talk about is I wanted to talk about the, this whole steakhouse thing. So not the whole steakhouse thing, but just the part of it that I want to talk about. So,
okay.
I proposed that we go to this steakhouse when you were here for the meeting with the Coppolos. And I knew that you like celebrity chefs, and we just got a new restaurant open here from Michael Minas, which I think you know.
Yes.
And so we've not eaten there. And so we're like, oh, perfect. New steakhouse from this guy. Adam will like this. We'll try it. And we would like this. Adam would like this. It's great. Let's do this. And without really thinking about it, I said, hey, here, we're going to do this dinner here. And then people started looking at the menu. And I think Rodan was saying that it was like, that's kind of pricey. And look, if Rodan says that, then it really is, because like I can ask Rodan to, like I did last year, is like, hey, do you want to go do this, you know, $500 Christmas dinner over at the cake bake shop with us? And he's like, yeah, sure. So it's like, I, you know, the prices that we're talking about, which are roughly about $150 a person, right?
Sure.
He was, you know, I didn't think they were that out of line. And that was his reaction. Other people had other reactions. Zach had, well, it is kind of pricey. And then you, when you looked at the menu, had
granted,
had
you were saying, granted, you said, so you're going to pay for all of us,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
Adam?
Yeah, yeah,
and I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah,
oh my God, this is an expensive restaurant.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. I don't think it's that out of line with any other steakhouse, like any other, like what would generally be considered a higher end steakhouse, right? So a Morton's or a
Ruth's
Charlie.
Chris.
Ruth Chris tends to be on the budget side of those, but like a Fleming's or, you know, something, you know, one of the, I'm just talking about, and there's a whole host of local, you know, like Burn Steakhouse in Tampa and, you know, local steakhouses that are legends in, you know, Las Vegas and stuff. However, for the most part, $150 a head before alcohol is, you know, that is a high-end steakhouse. That is what a high-end steakhouse costs. I just don't, am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. But you know, a lot of people would be okay with Outback or Longhorn.
Yeah, no,
or,
absolutely. And I love,
you know,
those places.
Like that.
I love those places too.
And they're budget friendly, but yes, no, a high-end steakhouse for sure. You know, when we eat at Michelin Star, I've had a meal that was $700 for two.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not, you know, I don't do that all the time, but I've had one.
Do you know that Toledo is Michelin recognized? Is that a thing?
Like
it's
a
thing. They don't have a star, but like they're Michelin recognized.
Sure.
Yeah. Toledo.
Yeah. Have I eaten there?
It's the one on the 15th floor that has the olive trees inside that with the, it's over at the.
Is that the one that we watch the fireworks from?
No, that was California Grill.
Oh.
This would have been over in Coronado Springs. It's a tapas restaurant. Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, it's quite good though. Now, I don't know if you've eaten there or not. If not, we should go there.
Yeah.
Be, but
if it's,
that
if
means,
it's Michelin, I'm there.
Well, we have a one star. We have a Michelin star restaurant on property, but it's very expensive. So it's the, I want to say it's starts just the regular prefix menu is like $250 a person. And yeah, then there's another $120 wine add on to that. Mm-hmm. Or you can sit at the chef's table, which starts at $430 a person, and then with $200 wine. And the chef's table is like a 3-hour experience. And then and the restaurant is very small. Anyway, it's one of those, like if Zach gets into Imagineering or if I retire or something like that, it's one of those restaurants. Like it's one
right.
of those, like
right.
you don't just go there, right?
Yeah. Sounds good though. I bet it is.
Yeah. If I found out tomorrow that I was going to die, I'd be eating there like every night. I'd just be like, as much credit as I have, it's just like, I would just keep every night, just keep eating there every night.
Well, the thing about fancy food is though, it tends to be more about the experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, it tastes good, but it's going to be very beautiful and it's going to have a story behind each dish, you know, and there's going to be a pairing with each dish and there's going to be, you know, and it's very service forward. So they're always coming to the table between courses and cleaning your, you know, making sure there are no crumbs and, you know, it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing.
You know what? If it was the 80s, you could do a play on Robin Leach, like he's robbing, like Robin Leach, but nobody knows who the fuck Robin Leach is anymore.
Tales of the Lifestyles. Wait, no, what is it?
The Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
The Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Yep. And apparently Burger King, not Burger Chef.
Daniel, I want you to have champagne dreams.
Caviar wishes.
And caviar wishes.
I think it was the other way around, but yeah.
Champagne wishes and caviar dreams.
That's right.
Either way.
I mean, it is knowable.
Sure.
By the way, the Ho Chi Malt program.
Yeah.
Came in very handy in our, of knowing what we talked about on the show.
Okay.
I've already had, you know, occasion to use it to go like, wait, did we talk about that? And, it does, even when I didn't think we did, it does, you know, it's like, so it's working quite well. I'm very pleased with how it's working right now.
It's champagne wishes and caviar dreams. Yeah.
Although I haven't done any new work on it. So I need to obviously finish working it. Although I did see that this week there's a new transcription AI that is like way more accurate than the other ones and faster, and it's on Hugging Face and it's open source. But I couldn't tell from what they were talking about whether it had diarization or not. Because that's the real thing. That's the secret sauce, is the diarization. Without the diarization, it can give an overall summary of like the show or whatever, but it's not good at figuring out who said what. Like, you know, it'll get that wrong sometime. Whereas the diarized stuff is awesome because that's, you know, it lets you break it out. And then you know that Adam said this and Daniel said that. And, you know, the caller said this and Kathy Bacon said that.
We don't want to be celebrating Robin Leach. Apparently, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous star Robin Leach allegedly strangled a young girl at a sex party.
Oh, wow.
Latest Epstein files dump reveals. That was 1 month ago.
Isn't he also dead?
He's dead.
Yeah.
2018.
So
2018.
A while. I was just thinking the other day, it's been 6 years. COVID was like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like, how can that be? Because it just doesn't feel like it was 6 years ago. It feels like it was like so much longer ago.
Can you imagine now being stuck in your house for 7 days, like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for months.
In this house? Yeah.
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 No, I mean,
I'd be happy.
Do you remember that though? Cause I mean, that's what it was. And then when we went back to meeting, to going out in public, how weird that felt.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. The weirdest thing, cause we used to live on a flight path to the airport. And the weirdest thing was just no planes. It's like, you know, not hearing planes going overhead, like just how quiet everything was and no cars out on the road, no planes.
Was it like
flying overhead?
A zombie show?
Yeah.
Or something.
Kind of what it was in a lot of respects. It kind of was. It was a weird time. And the weirdest thing about, I was just thinking about this the other day when I thought, oh my God, it's March. And it was March in 2020 that this such, and it's easy math, right? It's been 6 years. Oh my God, has it really been 6 years? But one of the weirdest things was my mom was still alive. And then to constantly have to re-explain to her every, you know, 5 minutes or so why people are wearing masks. Like, so you just had to constantly just keep, you know, it's like there's a pandemic that's going on right now. And, you know, oh, well, do I need to be wearing a mask? It's like, nope, you're fine. You're good. We're all, you know, you're all right. Don't worry about it. And then she'll, you know, she's like, oh, well, that doesn't sound good. And, you know, and like the same statements over and over. And then, you know, a minute or two later, it's like, why is everyone wearing masks? I remember that. Visit.
Were you guys at her place and you were wearing a mask?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like a family
get together.
Yeah. Christmas something. Time. Yeah.
Around. Oh, Christmas. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, it was a stupid thing. I don't really have anything either. Have you done anything?
Nothing
exciting with AI this week at all?
Mm. Well, using Codex. I mean, I've been working on the podcast maps website again.
Yeah.
Because it's got a defect that I'm aware of, and also there are just some additional features that I wanted to add. And also, I'm having to pay $20 a month to send one email a year or something to Fatty when someone joins the thing. And so I want to change the email service that I'm using to something else. So I needed to update the code for that. So I've been using Codex, and oh my God, what people have been saying is true. Like, it does everything but lick your butt.
Yeah.
Like, you just say, hey, I need to update to Mailgun instead of SendGrid. And it goes, oh, would you like for me to do that for you? And it's like, boop, 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 boop. And then it's like, okay, it's done.
I typically, when I start my day, I'll go into whatever directory for the project that I'm working on. I'll take a look at the list of user stories and stuff that, you know, whatever it is that I'm working on. And the first thing I do is, you know, I'll run Codex in that project directory because I have the agents.md file there that has, you know, instructions on what it's supposed to do. You know, you are using agents.md, right?
No.
Oh, so here, when you go into a directory with your project, be it through the Visual Studio Code interface or through Terminal, either one, inside Codex, just do /init, right? And what it will do is it will look through all of the subdirectories there and figure out what project you're in, and it will start making notes to itself of what tech stack you use, what the directory structure is, what the overall gist of the program is, like stuff like that. And it keeps that stuff in a file called agents.md that will be there in your directory. And you can edit that file. You can add things to it. You can add instructions to it. But the agents.md file will always get loaded every time that you run Codex in that directory. And it will, so it's a way of you giving it context, you know, for the project that you're working in. And you can have a different agents.md in every single directory that you have projects in, right? So it's like you can, you know, any files in those directories, like it can, but the agents.md file is kind of like a system file for it. But it will create its own if you just do the /init the first time in, right? And then when you make changes to the program or whatever, you say, hey, update your files and, you know, like update any files that need updating and, you know, push a commit, ready. So what it'll do is it'll update its agents.md file about any changes to your program and then also, you know, push the commit up to GitHub. What I typically do is I go into that directory, I run Codex, and I immediately shift tab on Codex to put it into plan mode. So when you're in Codex,
I need to write this stuff down. Like,
yeah, when you're in Codex, you can shift tab and it'll go through the different functions that it does. Like, so it'll be like accept edits or ask edit. You know, it's like it'll default to always asking you to make changes, but you can shift tab to go into a mode where it will like auto accept those changes, and you can go shift tab another time and it'll put it into plan mode. And it says all these things down in the bottom of the terminal, like down in the bottom of the terminal, it'll say you're in plan mode. When you're in plan mode, then I present it with the user story. I'm just like, look, I want to add a feature that does this. And it's got to connect to this. And I want it to use the same dialogue structure as this other page. I want it, you know, make sure that it, you know, is using MudBlazor, blah, blah, blah. And I hit enter, and then it's not going to write code. What it does at that point in time is it then goes through and figures out, and it makes a plan of how it's going to change it and what it's going to do. And it will display the plan for you. It's written in Markdown, and it'll give you a plan. So it's nicely formatted. It'll give you the plan of what it's going to do. You look at it. And then you're going like, yeah, do it, right? And it's like, and then it will actually follow its plan. So what it does is it writes that plan out, but it also writes a task list out associated with that plan. And then that way it can spawn sub-agents to do the work, and they can each check off their own little task as they go along. So it has a whole little shared file thing inside there. But that's how I do it, is I always plan it first and then I let it go. Now, caveat. I'm on an enterprise plan with no limits. So you do use more tokens going through a whole plan before you actually write. You know, you're essentially having it write it twice, kind of. But the nice thing about the plan mode is it will ask you if it, instead of it deciding to make, you know, like if it has, if it's missing a piece of information, it'll ask you for it. It's not going to.
So I'm on a pro plan. With ChatGPT.
Right, but which,
I don't
which
know.
One? Which, the $20 a month one, right?
The $20 a month.
Yeah. It'll just be your normal token association, but I'm just saying.
I always assumed that was unlimited.
It's not. It's not. It's just, it is gated per 24 hours
I've
or
never run into a limit
yeah,
that
it's,
I know
it's
of.
Rare. Yeah, it's rare that you do run into that limit unless you're really doing some heavy. But I'm just saying, by doing the plan mode, you are using more tokens than you otherwise would. And it especially is important on Claude because Claude has a 5-hour window instead of a 24-hour window. And so it's easy to run out fast. I would, that's my workflow. So.
Well, I'm learning all about it. Cause like I said, I started yesterday.
Yeah. And there's,
I don't know how much different Claude is going to be, but I feel like I need to learn Claude as well, because when I start applying for new jobs, mm-hmm. I'm assuming most companies are using Claude Code.
Yeah, it's the same.
So
there's no difference between them.
Okay. People always say it's much better.
They're talking about the results. They're not talking about, like, you still treat it the same way. You go into plan mode, you tell it what it is you want to do. It gives you a plan. Accept the plan.
So if you know how to use one, you know how to use the
other. Yes, exactly. Basically. It's the same pattern in both. It's like, go into plan mode, tell it what you want to do, let it give you back the thing. There's stupid things like, I don't ever want it to test. So I have all those things in my agents.md file. It's like, don't write unit tests. I don't want to see unit tests. This is an MVP, or this is, you know, a local program on my machine that it was like, I don't need too much security. It's like, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like, because otherwise it will go off and make every, you know, textbook computer security play that there is, you know, like, you're going to have to authenticate yourself with it. And it's like, look, I'm just trying to organize the files on my hard drive. You know what I'm saying? I just want you to write a program that file, and it's only going to run on my computer ever, and I'm going to run it. I don't need the security. You know what I'm saying? Just do it. It's like,
So far it hasn't written any tests, nor has it offered, but it is doing its own. Testing.
Yeah, it does its own internal
testing.
In the
background.
Which is the same kind of a thing. Yeah, I don't let it do that.
Oh.
But I mean, it's just me because I do my own tests. So it's like, I don't trust it to do the test. So anyway.
Anyway.
I feel
you say a lot. It's got, you say it a lot more recently.
Okay.
You should just not talk instead of saying,
That's one of those things that's easier to say than do, but I will remain conscious of it.
It doesn't bother me too bad, but
clearly it does.
You know.
Clearly it does.
Just
letting
you know.
You brought it up.
I notice. It's just, you know, it's just a thing. It's just one of those ticks.
I'm either going to say
ticks.
Or like, so take your pick.
Well, maybe you can intersperse, you know, you can do a little bit of both and then, you know, we'll get used to.
I have something we can talk about. Did you watch Survivor?
I did.
Okay. Let's talk about Survivor.
Sure.
I took notes, by the way. I took notes.
Okay. Wow.
Well, it's because I watched it twice because I didn't want to get spoiled. Zach worked late last night. And so I watched it. Last night without him. And then today when we were at dinner, he's like, have you watched Survivor? I'm like, I already have, but I would be happy to watch it again. And so I watched it again, tonight with him at dinner. Here's my notes. Coach is not Japanese. What gives him the right to go around assigning Japanese folklore names to people or whatever, as if he's the authority on Japanese folklore? It's like, dude, you're not Japanese. You're a white guy. You're just like some white guy who has some Japanese tattoos on your body, and you've now decided that you are the expert on Japan. But kudos to the sound team. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but when he was knighting Joe as the stone bell monk, as his hand hit both of his shoulders, there was an audible bell in the soundtrack. There was like a bong, bong.
Oh, okay. I think I remember that. Yeah.
I was just like,
you were saying all of that, Lamont was typing the mark of the beast in the chat room. He deleted it. But it was there. I know it was there.
Maybe he was trying to say, no, don't talk about Survivor. I haven't watched it yet. Don't worry, we won't tell you who went home. All right. So it's like Charlie
was making too much out of
Charlie,
who Rizzo voted for.
How badly did Maria fuck him up? He is haunted by that. It's like he is haunted by it. Also, the thing that he kept saying that Rizzo said is not what Rizzo said. Rizzo said that she was a good friend of his. And he said, so did you vote for her to win? And he's like, no, I voted for Savannah. And he's like, Savannah was always Rizzo's number one. It's like, so Charlie's wrong. It's like,
yeah,
Rizzo didn't vote against his number one. He voted for his number one. It was Savannah. It's just Charlie didn't hear the part where it's like, no, Savannah was my ride or die. Anyway, Charlie just... He like a man possessed, the way he would look at the camera and do those, like he was just,
I've got to get rid of him.
This is the reason you're going home tonight.
It's always when you're playing too hard that bad things happen.
And then I got to ask this. Do you think Rizzo is playing Suri or trying to play Suri?
I mean, I think he wants to play everyone eventually because he wants to win and he wants to be the greatest ever and all of that stuff that he was saying. But it seemed like he was truly excited to be working with her because of her legendary status. So I think it might be a little bit of both, but I do think he has respect and he's excited to play with her.
So this makes it very complicated for me because now we run into this situation where you know that I am pulling for Christian and Ozzy was really getting on my nerves with his trying to get out Christian. It's like, dude, stop it. Stop it. You're supposed to be working together. Like, I like both of you. You're supposed to work together. God damn it. It's kind of like when my cats fight, right? It's like, God damn it. Love each other. What was my point?
Ozzy was being annoying. I don't know.
I was pulling for Christian.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I was saying. I had a good point, but
Angela
was
it Angela that went home? And
nobody cares. Nobody cares. Yes, it was Angela that went home. Remember there were two evictions.
Yeah.
Angela went home.
We'll leave that other one for you guys. Sorry.
But I do think that there was this interesting moment where at Tribal Council, they were talking about Rizzo being unknown because 49, the season that he was on, was filmed right before they filmed this season that they're on.
Yes.
So no one has seen him play other than Jeff Probst. But it wasn't until this Tribal Council when someone brought it up. I don't know who. I don't remember who brought it up. Brought up the fact that it's like, I think it was Jeff Probst that brought it up. He's like, what does he not know about watching his season air? Like, what does he not know about the experience of your season airing, right? And they started making random points, but it seemed really fascinating to me, because what they were essentially saying is that, you know, in your head, you're playing one kind of game and you're coming across as X, right? You like, they believe me on this. I got them hoodwinked on that. And they, you know, they love me on that. But until you watch your season back and you hear them going like, what a dweeb, man. No, yeah. Like, he thinks we're falling for it.
Your impression of yourself is way different than...
Yeah, and that's what Charlie made that comment, which I thought was a really apt comment. He was just like, everyone is the hero of their own story. And so in your head, the narrative is going to be you as the hero. And then when you watch it back, you're confronted with the cold reality of, you know, what it really was. And Rizzo hasn't gone through that, right? Rizzo has also never been voted out, right? It's like, you've got this, kid that is, doesn't. He hasn't been humbled by the TV yet. So he's still playing like he, you know, how he imagined himself playing in 49, which is everyone at home that has watched 49 knows how he played, you know. So it's like that, I feel like, is some of the disconnect between what Rizzo says and what we know to be true. He's not had that chance to go back and learn those lessons. You know what I'm saying? Does that make any sense?
It does.
Like,
yeah.
It's easy to dismiss him and think, oh my God, he's just repeating the same dumb things that he did last time. But his excuse, his very valid excuse, is he doesn't know they were dumb.
Well, like, that, but also I think he played well in the last.
Yes, but the mistakes that he made in the other episode, in the other season, he doesn't know what those mistakes are because he doesn't, he doesn't know the whole picture. So it's like, I kind of like Rizzo. But at the same time, I'm like, he's cozying up to Suri, and you know Suri is my sworn enemy. And
I like Suri.
Suri is working with Ozzy, and Ozzy is now working with Christian. And so it's like, it's all tied. So now I got to root for Suri just to keep Christian in the game. I was like, this is the devil's bargain, man.
Like Suri. She seems like a nice lady to me.
I wanted to, like, I got sucked into her in this episode where she was like, he gave me information and I'm going to reciprocate and be as honest with him as he is with me and everything. I'm like, why did you have to do the traitors? Why did you have to do that scummy thing on the traitors? It's like, it's just why can't you just be this Suri? Why can't you just be nice Suri? Why are you that evil, scummy traitor Suri that, drug a man along to the ending? One, got to the ending where it was just the two of you, and then made him vote himself out because you said, I earned it. It's like, girl, you were randomly picked to be a traitor. It's like, you didn't earn anything. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
You're welcome. Well, Daniel, happy birthday to you.
I'm not done.
Oh, sorry. Are there more bullet points?
There are, but I don't know what they mean.
What's on your shirt?
What? Groot? It's a Run Disney shirt. It's got Groot on it.
Cute.
I know what. Have you ever heard of Kalshi? No. Were you trying to tell me that you're leaving, that you ordered food and you're leaving?
That's what I was doing, but.
All right.
But we can keep on. I thought you said you didn't have anything else, and I thought you were done with Survivor, and I did order food. It's not here yet.
Okay. But. Well, so Kalshi is a betting market, or is a predictions market. What do they call them? They've got a name. Because they're not regulated. So they've got a name. A prediction market. Thank you very much, Kathy Marshall. It's a prediction market. And I wanted to look on here because I think Survivor is actually in here. We're looking
to predict like who's going to be the winner or something, or
yeah. So like
the odds,
like here's one right here. Which participant will be eliminated from Survivor season 50, episode 6? Currently 91% is, Colby. 90% is Camilla, and 89% is Genevieve. Right. And you can buy into it, right? You can buy into these predictions, right? And it's basically gambling. But here's
do we know that the merge is happening?
Yeah, we saw it in the preview.
Okay.
But here's the thing. There are hundreds of crew members that worked on Survivor. There's even more hundreds of people at CBS that have seen the episodes already, like the people that wrote the musical score, the people that did the editing, the people like, there's a lot of people that already know who was eliminated from Survivor.
But it would be illegal, wouldn't it?
No.
Or are you saying because they're not regulated?
Yeah. So this whole Kalshi thing is this bullshit, slot machine with no regulation on it. And what happened is they found out recently that there were like insane bets purchased on Kalshi for the date that we would bomb Iran, like would we bomb Iran or whatever. And they were bought like 10 minutes before the bombing. Like it ended up being like $50 million in winnings that went to this, anonymous account that just dropped in 10 minutes before, cause it's all done in crypto. So it's like, it's, this random person who dropped in to, it's like, of course, I mean, it's somebody that knew, it's somebody in the White House, or somebody that knew that they were going to do it. And it's like, that's what they're doing. This is the grifting shit that they're doing. Is they're just going out and betting on things that they themselves can make happen, right?
Yeah.
And making...
I think there are worse things happening at the moment, but yes, I agree that is something that is happening. It is a problem, for
it's
sure.
It's just...
I mean, well, he has his own cryptocurrency, right?
Yeah.
Where he's making money off of that.
Yeah.
There were... Yeah. Yeah. Didn't his kids make a bunch of deals while he was president the first time, and it was basically because of him being president with like other countries and stuff, hotels in other countries.
They're doing it now. They're traveling on our dime to go and do it. Yeah, it's all just grifting. It's all a fucking grift. We need to get the fuckers out. So have a good night, Adam, but if you find yourself in the morning needing something to do,
well, I'll look and see if I can find a time.
No King's rallies. It's a good way to make yourself feel good.
Okay.
Make yourself feel like maybe it's not all hopeless out there. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being here this evening for the
happy birthday, Daniel.
Gay mix experience. Yes, indeed. I feel no different than I did at the beginning of the show. But I have, I guess, aged a year. Anyway, have a good night, chat room. We will be back Easter for Good Friday. Good Friday.
Yep.
Next Friday. Good Friday.
We will roll away the stone in front of the tomb.
And we will rise again.
Yes.
To rise again. Okay. Good night, chat room.